The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll go back and look. Again, there were several things. Protection was broken down a little bit, in terms of the route disciplines, all those things. It's always everybody, right? It's always everybody. When you give up 9 sacks, obviously that's something that you don't want to have happen. But again, that's an everybody thing. That's rhythm and timing of the quarterback. That's protection of the offensive line. That's route disciplines of the guys running the routes. It's all that. It's all that at the same time. So it's an everybody thing.
Plumbers 911 Football Monday starts now with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Your boy's been fired up all day long. Fired up for the wrong reasons, ladies and gentlemen. And the flames shall continue until 5 a.m. I just got off Fox 32. We just did Chicago Sports Tonight. Myself, Dan Wiederer, Lou Kanellis, Tina Nguyen. And I told everybody, I said, hop on over to the radio station because Therapist Gabe is here. I got my glasses on, my pen, my notebook, and the chaise is prepared. I got the incense burning for you because we need to have some conversations about what's going on with this Chicago Bears team. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being the fan that is continually hoping for the best. The phone lines are open. If you care to start a queue to talk to Therapist Ramirez about this Chicago Bears team. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. I want to talk to you. I think this might be more for me for you than for you today. Shane Waldron, I mean, you guys for 2.5 years have been on The Score. You never hear me calling for people's jobs like that. Ever. I am calling for someone's job. That's it. I cannot come to work 3 weeks in a row, 4 weeks in a row, screwing up my job. You can't either. And not just screwing up your job, but no hope in sight. A demotion would be, okay, fine. You're going to call plays. How about this, though? Against the New England Patriots. This is your demotion. You get to call plays against the New England Patriots in order to figure it out. You, like, what? And then you fail at that. You look in the mirror and you have to say, hey, listen, buddy, this ain't for you. Maybe this ain't for you at this level. Seattle Seahawks, sure, nobody's paying attention to you. You want to call plays over there, Awesome. But you weren't ready for the limelight. You were not ready for the bright lights of Chicago. Now, there's blame to go around, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm not admonishing everyone. As a matter of fact, when you call up, I see the people lining up already in the queue to talk to therapist Ramirez today. I also want you to tell me how many slices of the pie. I've tried this thing where, like, what percentage of the blame goes, but I understand not everybody loves the numbers. But you can tell me in a pie, a pizza pie, how many slices are there for you? Because if it's one slice, like no slices, just one pie, and it's a Shane Waldron pie, I'm here for that. If you're telling me, Gabe, you know what? I need three slices to this pie. Three. Poles, Flus, Shane Waldron. Maybe it's four. Maybe you want to throw Caleb Williams in there. Maybe you want to throw five. You want to throw the McCaskies. You get to choose that. But this, absolutely not. After the Commanders game, it was like, okay, maybe, okay. Arizona, you're like, fool me once. Am I the fool now? After this, after what I had to sit through and watch, you know what I told? You ever seen an episode of Shameless? Take a second. You ever seen an episode of Shameless? For those of you that have, you should start chuckling. For those of you that haven't, it is a show where throughout the episode, things get worse to a point where you know, because they're just writing it and the show's called Shameless, to the point where you're like, no way this can happen. No way. The Chicago Bears are an episode of Shameless. How fitting that Shameless is set in Chicago. 312-644-6767 is Gabe Ramirez. I'm on till 5 o'clock. And I'm going to be this hot till 5 a.m. Know that. And it's not just because of the Diet Coke I drank. Let's go out to the phone lines. We got Tyler Farrengal holding down producing duties today. Warrior out here handling in all the phone calls. Shoot me Nate. Nate's going to be my first call. Nate, Lake in the Hills. Was this a disaster or was this a disaster?
This was, I don't even know, nightmare, disaster, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what this was. I mean, anybody knew this was a must-win game. And it started right in the beginning. How the first series, they go to third down, third and five, whatever it was, and they call a swing pass into the backfield and lose yards. And I don't know how you're expecting to get a first down or get any momentum going, but it all started from there. And then it was just a train wreck going downhill from there, and you just knew they weren't going to win the way they were playing or anything. Can't blame the defense. I mean, the defense held them to 19 points. You hold a team to 19 points, you should win. I mean, and then, you know, you go to the press conference with Eberflus, and we hear, oh, we got to look inward. We've heard that for the last 5 weeks. What are you looking inward at? Like, nothing has changed. What are you looking at? I mean,
he's trying to look for his guts. Nate, he's trying to look for his guts is exactly what's happening. But listen, you're absolutely right. How often, right? Because people have been talking all year long. Oh, Bears only scored 10 points in the first quarter. Only the Eagles have done less. But when you look at these games, right, and you think back, the Bears have had success moving the ball or have been in great situations to do that. They just shoot themselves in the foot. Whether it's a Cairo Santos missed field goal, whether it's sacks, inopportune sacks to get you out of field goal range. This is things that they've been doing to themselves. And you're absolutely right. A must-win game beyond measurable proportion. This is something that every single person in that lot, not even the players themselves, but the coaches should have known that, hey, dude, if we lose this, if we lose this game, we might get fired, right? Like, and the fact that they came out the way that they did, It is unfathomable the way that this thing kind of played out to go three and out after the punt return that DeAndre Shakar had. Three and out, and then to give them the ball and for them. You know what was the funniest part about this? Because this is a great series to talk about. This should be dissected in the books of why they should fire Shane Waldron. You're absolutely right. They come out from the very beginning. They run with DeAndre Swift. And I say, oh, my God, that's amazing. That's great. I've been doing these overnights so many times this year, and I complain about the same thing, Nate. It's that on the first drive, the Bears go three and out because they choose to pass the ball on two possessions instead of just running the ball two straight times. So they do that. Caleb Williams, they go with the play action as if their identity is a running team. They go with the play action instead of just running the ball again. And what happens to your point? They take a sack. It was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting to watch. And now, what do you think, Shane? Because I didn't hear you say Shane Waldron got to go.
At least Shane Waldron's got to get fired tomorrow. If not Eberflus, I mean, both of them should go. I mean, Poles maybe a little bit more leeway, but I mean, you look up and down. Okay, you look at their schedule. Where are they winning another game this year? Yep. Seattle? I mean, where is that? They're not winning. We're in for a long season.
I'm laughing to hide the pain, Nate. I'm laughing to hide the pain. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. 312-644-6767. Damn, I might lose my voice by 5 a.m. For those of you that have been listening overnight, Tyler, you too. Has this not been my gripe? First possession, instead of it being run, pass, it's run, pass, or pass, or pass, run, pass. It's never just, and it's always three and out. And I complain about it every single Sunday at midnight. I come in here and I complain about the same first series and how it looks exactly the same. They learn nothing. Caleb Williams, 3rd and 10. Yeah, the Bears are 1 for 14 on third down conversions. Last week, 3 for 14. Because they're expecting Caleb to do amazing things on 3rd and 10.
I didn't want to believe it, but it was that thought in the back of my head. When their first three possessions started beyond their own 40-yard line and put up no points, I don't even think they got... They might have got past their New England's 40, but Caleb got sacked. When it was that point when they punted again after that third drive, after the good field position, I was like, this is going to be a long game.
It was sick to my stomach, and I know you feel the exact same way. That's why I want to talk to you about it. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Steven out in Detroit. So you were at the game, Steven?
I did. I just got home about half an hour ago.
Oh, that's a hell of a four-hour drive there to be thinking about this game.
Well, I took Amtrak, so it was smooth sailing for me. I didn't have to let the loss impact my, you know, driving and so everything.
I heard you just saw it, that the crowd was just absolutely vicious to this Chicago Bears team. What was it from your vantage point?
So I sat at the 350 section, I believe it was on the north end zone. This is my first time I've ever actually attended the Bears game. And I was with a friend of mine who happens to be a Bears YouTuber that I do, podcasting with. And from the get-go, nothing worked. And the booze started to smatter. And then as the game went on, it just became really, really vicious. Nothing went right. You know, Caleb was always getting sacked on second down or third down, just put the Bears in really, really difficult positions. The only time I've ever heard cheers were maybe when Caleb made the back-to-back first down throws in the second quarter, and, you know, when Cole Kmet got...
condescending cheers, Steven. We all heard them. We all...
I know. But at least those were at least something. That those were the only things... The only time that I've ever cheered, or when the Patriots, you know, did not convert on third down, or when they committed a penalty and so forth. So, you know, the Fire Flus chant finally came out with about 5 minutes to go. That's when I started to leave the stadium, and I heard it loud and clear. I think the anger is now becoming apathy toward the end for the fans. And at this point, something has to give. And in a perfect world, we know Eberflus is fired. But I think Eberflus is just going to make Waldron a scapegoat and try and, skirt more responsibility for himself. And to be honest, I think we all know that Waldron deserves to be fired. But in the context of things or the bigger picture, I don't think nothing really is going to change at all. The offensive line is just a complete joke with so many starters gone. And I think the anger is now really, really starting to direct towards Ryan Poles now for keeping him and doing absolutely nothing with this offensive line, which is a complete joke. And, you know, Poles is right now in danger of probably getting the door shown along with Eberflus if Poles doesn't really take the necessary action. Because Kevin Warren, the team president, you know, how are you going to get a new stadium with this type of garbage product on the field where nobody likes you or even the team itself? And if Ryan Poles doesn't have the balls to, you know, make the decision, then I think Kevin Warren will probably show the door to both men because he obviously hired either man. So, you know, I don't regret my decision to come to Chicago to watch the Bears. I spend a lot of money, there's no question. The only regret is I wish the outcome was different. The atmosphere would have been so much different. But, you know, I think something has to happen between now and, you know, within the next 12 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people feel that exact same way where, you know, how the saying goes, heads should roll, right? I think getting text messages, and obviously, you know, we've been discussing this a lot, and I was on Chicago Sports Tonight with myself, Dan Wiederer, Luke Kanellis, Tina Nguyen, and we were talking about Thomas Brown. So Thomas Brown, for those of you that are unfamiliar, he's the offensive passing game coordinator for the Chicago Bears. Okay. We talk about solutions, not problems on my show. The problem is Shane Waldron. You can talk about that till you're blue in the face. However, what is the solution? The solution in the short term is Thomas Brown. Now you say, okay, well, who the hell is Thomas Brown? Gabe, I don't know. I know Shane Waldron is. I know Matt Eberflus. So he was actually in to attach yourself to this team is bad. However, he still held the role of offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers last year. All right. So he was the OC. Now, mind you, Carolina had a terrible team last year. Adam Thielen was their top receiver. Right. They didn't have Xavier Lee Gett or Deontay Johnson like they did. Right. They had Chuba Hubbard. They didn't have Jonathan Brooks, who was trying to come back. Anyway, the point is, the man at least has called plays before. So it's not as though you're getting rid of Shane Waldron and you're like, oh, damn, what are we going to do? Well, you might make a lateral move, but at least it's somebody different. Now, Caleb Williams, if you really paid attention to what he said when Jason Leisure asked him about whether or not, you know, he would be able to adapt to a new coordinator, he's like, he's not going to rewrite the book or something like that. He's not going to reinvent the wheel. That's what he said. Whoever it is, they're not going to reinvent the wheel. We're already in the middle of the season. Whew, that sounds like somebody that's defeated already. Like, hey, man, this thing's far too gone. Anyway, today when you're talking in your circles and you say Shane Waldron should be fired because he's horrible at his job, which is okay. You can get another job. Ask Lou Getsy. He got another job. You have the Bears in Seattle on your resume. You're going to get another job. Woo! This was bad today.
As an offensive coordinator or a position coach?
As an offensive coordinator.
You think he's going to get another OC job outside of Chicago after Chicago?
Listen, Luke Getsy taught me that anything is possible. You understand what I'm saying? Luke Getsy was Shane Waldron. And I thought to myself, this is unreal. This guy's done. He's never going to coach again. And Luke Getsy got a job the next offseason. Shane Waldron could do that very same thing.
I think after today, if you had to ask me to pick between the two of them, I'd pick Luke Getsy, because at least under Luke Getsy, they were able to run the football. I know the passing was bad, but they were at least a potent running offense.
The game against the Packers where Luke Getsy was like, no, we're running the ball. Justin Fields is only going to throw the ball four times or something like that. I think it was like 12. Either way.
His passing schemes just suck. Luke Getsy, so bad. Waldron I'm talking about.
Luke Getsy was calling an offense built for Caleb Williams, but Justin Fields is running it. And Shane Waldron is calling an offense for like Matthew Stafford and the Rams, right? A team that is seasoned veterans and knows they're doing and like a little bit more. He's expecting too much from Caleb Williams. That's my biggest issue. Anyway, but the solution, Thomas Brown, say that name often. Go look it up. That's the guy who should be. And I'm not saying he's going to be the savior, right? We're not saying that as if he's going to be the guy to fix everything. It's just that the guy who's there right now, it's not going to get better. It might. Maybe a little bit because it's so damn bad right now. But not to the point where you're going to rattle off 6 victories and find your way into the playoffs. Or you're going to be better next year because of time spent together under the same building. Let's go back out to the lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Dave out in Glenview. Dave, welcome to the show. Welcome to the couch of Therapist Ramirez.
Yeah, I got my feet up and my head trying to drain some of the blood out of it. It's been years since any good training is set up. I'm a trainer. And it's been years since any type of recognizable trainer is out. Training is there. It looks like Stone Age, probably heavy weights, high reps, high sets, a lot of lactic acid, probably a poor training table too, Coca-Cola, French fries, chicken wings, okay. Where, you know, why can't we take an example from somebody like Tom Brady that had a nutritionist in his life, I guess the whole time he was there, bulletproof, you know, tried and true, what, 9 Super Bowls or 8 Super Bowls? This is what the Bears just can't get. And earlier today on the Score, they were saying that the Bears are similar to the Cubs. They have a 50-year waiting list. They've got diehard fans that just like to come over there and tailgate and get drunk and go in the game. And they don't care who wins. They have to go to Murphy's on Sheffield to find out who won the Bear game. You know, they just don't get it. And year after year, we see this. So if they got some good training, like back in 2005 when the Sox went through this season with 0 injuries, swept the World Series. Why don't people wake up to training?
Yeah, we got to get Ozzie Guillen in the training room for the Chicago Bears. He wouldn't let that happen. Toughen them guys up. Build some callus. I know you're feeling just as bad as I am. Clear a couple of these lines from the people that have gone out there. You have to feel as bad as I do. That's why the phone lines are open, so we could discuss this kind of stuff. It was just a brutal game to watch. It was painful. Then then you see the Patriots moving the ball so easily, and you think to yourself, what are we doing so? What are the Bears doing so wrong?
You can't even hang your head on the defense anymore. I mean,
the defense did fine. The defense did fine. 19 points.
Better than last week, but yeah, just it goes back to, again, you hate to get into these games where it's like you hope the defense continues to make stops 75% of the game because you know the offense is going to get in their own head for 95% of the game.
Yeah.
Probably more today than
it's just honestly, it's like when the things that got me upset, the defense wasn't on the top 5 list. You know, so it's like defense is like so far down for me.
No.
You know, it's like I'm so upset about so many other things. What are you upset about? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Ryan out in Oak Forest. Ryan, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, you know, that's really some pretty good transition by what's his name? The producer, Shane.
Tyler.
Anyway, like Tyler, yes, because I wanted to talk about the defense. Where we are right now, coming off a 2-game losing streak, only 2 games, and then losing to a lottery team in this fashion just has me feeling so helpless, you know? It's like one of those dumpster fire losses to the Packers where they drop over 40.
Yeah.
And I seriously hope I'm not foreshadowing, because our defense today is going to get a pass by everyone but me. You know, we can't get to the QB, can't get home, can't stop the short running game, and can't step up on third down. DeMarcus Walker and Dominique Robinson, they could make our starting tackles look like pro ballers. Which leads me to my next point before handing it back to you. Everyone just blames it on the line and the OC, and, you know, it's, they have been a problem. But it's like, you know, they're seeing the game but not watching it, because, like, Caleb doesn't really go through that pure progression system that Spiegel and Holmes, I think, talked to Kurt Warner about. Like, he doesn't have a whole lot of time in the pocket, but he has enough time to see these open checkdowns, right? You know, free little Dirk, more like free little Cole.
All right, but let me ask you this, Ryan, because you talked about, you know, it shouldn't be all on the OC, shouldn't all be on, you know, Caleb. You're talking about the defense being a problem. So what is the number one issue for you with this team?
You know what? It's just heart. I mean, like, you can see, like, this confidence. Like, let's say we play the Patriots after we played the Jaguars and the Panthers, right, where we totally trashed them, right? We would blow out the Patriots too, right? It's just, I don't understand how these back-to-back losses can really, really demoralize this team so much. Like, you could just hear it in the press conferences. You could hear it in the
Ryan, I'll tell you where it started. I'll tell you where it started. It was when Coach Eberflus couldn't accept responsibility for the mishaps in the Washington Commanders game, right? It's a game that they lost where they were unable to put any points on the board. And then at the tail end, when they had the game in hand, could have been a great momentum boost for the Chicago Bears team. Tyreek Stevenson accepted responsibility. Everyone else accepted responsibility. And Shane Waldron and Coach Flus were like, nah, we thought that was the right thing to do. We thought that we shouldn't have called the timeout right there because the guys were ready. We thought we shouldn't have called corners out on the second to last play because, you know, we're more worried about the touchdown. And the players in the locker room like, what? What? And so then the game against the Arizona Cardinals, when you come back from that, you're dejected from that loss, last second heartbreaker. And then you do the exact same thing. You don't put up any points on the offensive side. And then you're looking at a team that you feel like you should be better than, but you realize you're not in real time. In real time. And you saw it today with how the Arizona Cardinals defeated the Jets. In real time, you realize you weren't as good as them. And then you kind of feel like you're losing the locker room. And then that's what happens throughout the course of a season with teams that want to make it to the playoffs. You deal with that level of adversity. It's not the adversity of the last couple of years where you don't know who the starting quarterback should be. It's the adversity of we are better than this record says we are. And we don't know why. And when you're trying to figure out those answers, the players looked at themselves and said, it ain't me. And the only person that was left to point to was the coaches. And that's what's happening right now. And that's what has happened to this team against the New England Patriots. You heard Pat Manley talking about it in the post game. He said he predicted that the Patriots would beat the Bears. Why? Because there wasn't any bouncing back from those two losses. He didn't think that they had it in them to come back, reconnect, and then win this game. And that's the most difficult part about it, because you know what, Ryan? You said it best from the very beginning. As a fan, when you're watching it, you feel absolutely helpless, especially because you feel like there's no end in sight with the schedule that they have coming up here.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what? You make a good point, because Pat Manley, I mean, he's been in locker rooms for, what, 15, 16 years?
Right.
He's seen it all from the 2006 Bears to the 2013 Bears, which was like the beginning of the end, right? And it's just like, if this was any other franchise, I'm sure the coach would have been fired by now. You know, I think we all know the Bears don't really do that. They don't really fire coaches mid-season. You know, from what I've seen over the years, we should be firing him before this Packers game to get that, like, fired coach boost that team seemed to get.
Yeah, we heard it. We saw the Saints got it. This weekend against the Atlanta Falcons, they fire their coach. They go on to get the victory. It just shows everyone that you're serious. Serious about change, serious about winning, serious about the direction of your franchise. And who does it send the message to? It's not just Shane Waldron. It's the players. We all see the same thing. If there's one thing that I learned about being in this business, is that you are not foolish. You are not a fool. what you see, everyone sees. There's no secret special angle that someone has. The Bears' offense sucks. The Bears have been unable to put together any semblance of a professional offense in the National Football League. And something needs to happen as a result of it. Do you agree with that? 312-644-6767. I am Gabe Ramirez, and we're taking your phone calls next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Gonna get to your calls in just a second. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score. Que lo que hay, mi gente? What is going on, my people? Because it is bad out here. I got to be honest, man. Bears lose to the New England Patriots 19-3. Some stats we can go through. It's painful. I mean, people text me all the time and like, yo, Gabe, how do you do it, man? I would curse on the radio if I had to go talk about the Bears after they lost. And I'm like, it's hard. It's hard. And usually I'm positive. Usually. Today I'm taking a different approach. Like, heads got to roll. Like, you never, ever, in 2.5 years, you never hear me say, oh, this person got to get fired. Nah, they got to go. It's always like, hey, you know, figure it out. I'm a fan. We're going to be all right. Positivity. Today, no. Bears had 11 first downs today. 11. Just 11. 1 for 14 on third down. When, you know, total yards, it's like you see teams give up 200 and something all the time. Bears had 142 total yards. 142. Average yard game per play, 2.4 per play. How? How can you come to work and see Shane Waldron in the hallway and be like, hey, what's up, bro?
I remember after the Titans game week one, I said, that was the worst the Bears offense will play all year.
No.
And they have topped that this game. And maybe another one. That's how bad they've been this year.
It's bad. It's so bad. 2.4. I see Shane Waldron in the hallway. Hey, what's up, Shane? Hey, what's up? No. Shane, how was your weekend? Like regular conversation with your coworkers. Hey, Shane, how was your weekend? Oh, man, it was all right. Was it? Shut your ass up.
Tell us the truth, Shane.
Oh, man. Let's go to George. Out in Waukegan, 312-644-6767. I'm therapist Gabe. I have a chaise, some glasses, a pen and a notepad, and I'm ready to talk about these Bears. George, what do you got to say about them?
Oh, Gabe, you're saying all the things I want to say. I mean, just after the Washington game, I looked at all my friends and we were talking about the game and I said, the next game coming out against Arizona is going to prove a lot about this team, whether they believe in the coaching staff or not. And they instantly showed us they did not believe in them. They second our belief with this week, you know, this performance this week, and just you going through those stats. I didn't realize how bad it was until you said those stats. I mean, I knew we were last in the league going third downs going into the week, and I didn't realize how much worse we made it on ourselves. It's just, you know, being a fan, you know when there's problems with the team, and for the team, for Eberflus to come out there and just say there's no problems, we had good practices, good things.
The players aren't saying that, right?
The players know he's lying.
The players are still saying that they're not practicing to the fullest.
Right, and also, like, I've been a Chicago sports fan all my life, you know, and I have never heard a team so honest about the way they think about coaching staffs, the way they think about this one, and no team says those things, that dishonesty, without there being a problem, you know?
Of course.
It's hard to hear them, because, like, you know they know a problem, and you know it's a problem, but the coaches don't know it's a problem, it seems.
George, it's one thing if your team is bad, and you're the coach, and you're losing, and you're like, okay, well, the team is bad. You know, that's been the case for the Bears the last couple of years. It's another thing if you're an offensive coordinator and there's a lack of productivity, but it's because you have no talent at the skill positions. That is not the case for the Chicago Bears. And that's why they're under a different microscope. That's why they're being viewed. That's why the level of disappointment that we have as Bears fans is at an all-time high, because this team is good. You don't even have to call them good, right? Because you can argue that. But they're better.
This team is talented.
This team is better than their record.
Yes.
Right? This is not a 4-5 team after facing the teams that they have. And that's the most frustrating part about where they're at right now.
It's 4-2 going to the bye week. I admit I was drinking the Kool-Aid. I was believing things. I was drinking the Kool-Aid.
I bought my flights to the Super Bowl. No, I'm just playing.
But as soon as something went wrong, you saw the way this team felt. You know, they let you know how they felt about the coaching staff. You know, well, things were good. Yeah, it was fine. It was all good. But as soon as things went wrong, they don't believe. They don't. It's a broken team. It's a broken team.
Yeah, I tweeted that out, or X'd that out, whatever you want to call it. I said, did the Bears break Caleb Williams? That was my most liked tweet today. You know, got a bunch of likes, got a bunch of comments.
Third quarterback in a row. We have a head coach first year. We're going to fire him the second year. Third quarterback in a row.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating.
There's so many amazing examples of how to run a good organization out there in the NFL, and somehow the Bears don't know how to follow any of those organizations. You know, like,
it's like you're watching Drake May, George, and I like Drake May, but you watch their offense and you're like, this is the Patriots. Their team sucks. Their wide receiver core is that of the Chicago Bears in 2019 when Justin Fields had nobody to throw to. That's their wide receiver group, and somehow, some way, the wide receivers are able to create space. They're able to get open on their super simple plays. It's because they dumb it down. They pick their best plays, and they do it well.
Like watching the game today, you cannot blame the loss on the defense. They you know, you held the team to 13 points, whatever. You should win the game. You know, you should win the game with that defense. The offense is broken. They are, I don't even know what to say. They're just, they look lost out there. You know, Caleb Williams takes sacks. They take him out of field goal range constantly, game after game. He's just like, he doesn't, I don't know. There's no coaching of game awareness out there. You know?
George, I appreciate the phone call, man. I'll be on next week too. Look forward to chatting with you, man. We got to talk about this Bears game next week too. 312-644-6767. Want to talk to you. Phone lines are open. Gabe Ramirez here. Oh my God. It's just like so frustrating. It's a frustrating game. It's a frustrating game to watch. Bears in the first, I bet the Bears to win the first half. They were favored by 3.5. And I just did it straight up because I was like, they should definitely be beating the Patriots at the first half. Like, how foolish of me to think that. How foolish of me. Why is he regressing? What? How? How am I so confused? How am I watching a Bears team? And I get it. They did it against the Panthers. And people were saying, oh, he did it against bad teams. But damn, you look like the worst. You don't even look like an NFL offense. Like, there's no completions. There's no driving of the ball. There were two plays for 15 yards today for the Chicago Bears. One of them was a regular play. The other was a roughing the passer penalty. That's it. That's it. That's your offense for the Chicago Bears. It's sickening. Bears had one play in the what they call gold zone, or right outside of it. And the one play resulted in a 2-yard sack, which took him out of it, which then led to another sack, which took him out of field goal range. Like, it that like what? What? Is that a Benny Hill skit? Let's go to Joe. Joe, good to talk to you, my friend, out in Green Bay. Talk to me.
Man, hey, therapist Gabe, I'm really glad to talk to you. It's funny because my wife actually works in the mental health field, but she thinks I'm a big baby because I get upset over football games. But I know you understand.
Of course. Hey, you know what? She should be validating your feelings like I am, because I'm therapist Gabe.
Yeah, exactly, man. Well, hey, you talked about Thomas Brown earlier, and I want to talk about that real quick. And before you let me go, I have...
No, I got time. You're good. You're good.
All right, bro. Well, I got a mind-blowing statistic for you at the end of this, but Thomas Brown, as inexperienced as he is, if you remember last year when the Panthers played the Packers, I mean, he was able to get 312 yards out of Bryce Young. And that's, you know, that was late in the season. Granted, the Packers did win that game, but it was a lot closer than it really should have been. So whether that was just pure coincidence or Tom knows how to exploit the Packers defense, which is coming up next week.
Joe, what it was, I'll tell you what it was. Let's not forget, Dave Canales was calling the plays, or the coach last year was calling the offensive plays, and they switched it up and then let Thomas Brown call him, and then he did that. So it's almost a similar situation to right now.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, and obviously the Bears have a much better defense than Carolina did last year and still now. So at this point, after watching this absolute clown show, I mean, I'm open to just about anything at this point. And Eberflus's press conference was as predictable as it gets. You know, same stuff, go back, look at the tape, blah, blah, blah. At least this time he said that we're going to explore other options. I mean, so I guess there's that. I mean, I still want him fired by tomorrow, but something tells me that's just not going to happen as much as we all, you know, really, really want it to. But it's just year after year, man, year after year. It's like the Bears will hire all, you know, new coach, new coordinator, and it's always the same thing. Slow starting, no creativity, no energy, predictable as all heck, and it's the same thing. And then you go watch these competent offenses, you know, like Detroit and Houston, and they're moving the ball downfield, zip, 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 zap. And then we have our guys that call these plays behind the line of scrimmage when, you know, well, I forgot how many downs there were, but the one where you think he threw it, where Caleb threw it to DJ, and then he just got stuffed up within seconds.
Yeah, the screen pass? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. The third and two? Are you kidding me? Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, third and two. Yeah. Unbelievable. And like your I think it's the producer, the one that takes the calls. He said that. Yeah. Good guy. At least he said rather have Getsy, because the Bears would actually run the ball properly. And I thought the same thing. Like going back to a couple weeks, and I know you know Ben Johnson is on every Bears fan wish list, but there's going to be quite a few head coach vacancies open this year. One, there's no guarantee he leaves Detroit, and two, there's no guarantee he comes here. So people got to think about that too, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to come to Chicago. As it sits right now, and the run that they've been on over the last couple of years, I would much rather go to a different organization. If I were him, maybe somebody else, we can get a good name here to be the offensive coordinator. But him, or excuse me, head coach, but in particular, but that's a tough one. You mentioned the Luke Getsy thing. This is what I'm saying. It's like relationships, Joe. Right? It's like. You get out of a relationship, you go find someone else, and you're like, oh, maybe the grass is not always greener, and you start thinking about your ex, but that's not the answer. The answer is to think about a new love, someone that treats you right, someone that does have your best interest. That's what we need as an offensive coordinator. That's what we need, somebody that loves the Chicago Bears and wants to see them succeed, because what they're doing right now, it's just, and you brought up some really good points, right? You said, you talked about who the Bears have had and who they could have brought in to bring in Shane Waldron. And here's what I would say about that. Sometimes you have to make the personality higher, right? You hear your bosses and managers talking about that often, where maybe this individual wasn't the most qualified, but for the sake of the cohesion of the group, you had to make the personality higher. Ryan Poles, right? has hired everyone on his staff that is the nice guy, right? Like Roma Dunze, the nice guy. Darnell Wright, the nice guy. Zach Pickens, Coach Eberflus, Shane Waldron. Like, these are all nice guys. At some point, you have to make the personality hire to bring in the nasty guy. You need the nasty person. The person that's going to yell at you. The person that's actually going to coach you. Like a Dan Campbell. Like a Ron Rivera. Like a Mike Vrabel. Grown men that are out here going to coach these people up instead of having a bunch of, like, hey, we're really smart and we're really nice guys and we're going to do it.
Like, I'll throw another one out there. Sean Payton.
Sean Payton. You need guys with some grit out there, Joe. Not none of the stuff that we're getting right now. It's not enough. You want to know why? Because if you had somebody with some grit, somebody would say something about what's happening. Somebody would have the cojones to be out there and be like, yo, I don't know what Flew said. I don't know what. This is terrible. We need to change this. This is unacceptable. No one is saying that. No
one. You
want
to know something, Gabe?
Yes.
Do you want to know? All right. So 4 years ago, not quite to this day, but on November 13th, 2020, on this day in Bears history, do you know what happened?
4 years Matt ago?
Yep. Matt Nagy gave up play calling duties. And Eberflus is about to do the same thing, hopefully.
Oh, look at that. And we saw what happened after that little thing happened. It was a sinking ship after that. So we'll see. Maybe the same thing holds true. Joe, always a pleasure to talk to you. Hopefully we get a chance to chat next week after that Green Bay Packers game.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate you as always.
No, I appreciate you because I needed the therapy just like you did. All the validation that's going on out there. That's what we're doing, man. Talking about this Bears game. Bears lose to the New England Patriots 19-9. Talking about it all. 19-3. And we're talking about it all the way till 5 a.m. Of course, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I'm not the only one that's going to be giving you the goods today. All day today, we got heavy hitters. With Mully and Haw, you get Olin Krutz, DJ Moore, and Brad Biggs at 7, 8, and 9 o'clock. DJ Moore, I got a whole theory about him and Caleb Williams. They don't like each other. They do not like each other. I'll get into that a little bit later. Bernstein and Harris. They got Anthony Heron at 11. And Dan Weiderer, who I was just on TV with on Fox 32. He got to start at 1 o'clock with Bernstein and Harris. Then Kurt Warner at 3. Mark Grody at 4. Jalen Johnson, who I heard walked out of the locker room. That's what I heard. I heard he wanted no part of post-game media. He said, I'll take the fine. He'll be on with Spiegel and Holmes at 5 o'clock. Make sure you guys check that out. Meantime, let's take another call before we go to break. Let's go to Brandon out in Morton Grove. Brandon, good to talk to you again. What's up, brother?
What's good, Gabe? Thanks for taking my call, man. Something to lift your spirits, man. I just want to say you're appreciated, man, and you're doing this for we the people and for the people.
I appreciate you, Brandon.
So I don't know what kind of incense you got burning, but I don't know if it's Nag Champa or patchouli, but I thought Waldron was going to be coming over here with that West Coast exotic offense, you know, that Maui Waui.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it's like not even anything.
He came with that Arizona weed.
Like that swag, you know, you used to get back
it's
in high
brown,
school.
Brown, I get no crystals. I need none of that.
So, but I think there's plenty of blame to spread everywhere. You know, week 18. You saw Justin running for his life against the Packers, and you would think, you know, Poles would do something to shore up the offensive line, you know, coming into this season. But he didn't really do anything. And then, like I said about Waldron, and then you look at Eberflus, you know, take a look at Tomlin, you know. The best way to identify, like, good coaches is doing the best from what you're given. You know, he never really had the best quarterbacks, but, you know, somehow they're always in the playoffs. You know, and if we can run the ball well, why not get like a Mike Vrabel in here? You know what I mean? Somebody who's going to instill discipline in the players and at least coach them up to do something right, you know, because right now we're not doing anything right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you thought you were getting in Coach Eberflus, right? A defensive-minded coach who was had attention to detail, was going to have everyone buy into his philosophies, and that just, unfortunately, just hasn't – he's had people buy in, but again, this is where I go back to you have to judge people differently year in and year out, right? At the very beginning, they were tearing down the team. Couldn't really judge you too hard there. Second year, okay, you had the people playing harder than you anticipated. Third year, you picked up the victories. So you were seeing progress from Coach Flus. But now you have a good team, right? It's kind of like David Ross and the Cubs, where it's like, hey, you were good. You didn't do enough. We felt like we should have gotten a little further with the talent that we had. So therefore, we have to move on to bring somebody in that can take this team with the talent that's there to the next level. Then they bring in a guy like Craig Counsell, right? So I think with the Bears, it is very similar. Coach Flus is given that leash to do this. But now that Poles has brought in the talent that he feels the team should be doing better than they are in the present. And so because you are not, you are being judged differently.
But like, you know, like the last game of the year, last year, I mean, you can tell, you know, like if you don't have time to throw the ball, how are you going to operate an offense? You know what I mean? All you can do is run the ball. So, I mean, you just got to, I guess, like what you said, you know, like last week, you were like, you know, maybe you run the ball on third down too, you know, give it a try. You know, I mean, Swift had some good runs to start out with on first and second down. But then, like you said, they go to some, like, cute plays and pass plays, and, you know, they just get behind the sticks, and it's just insanity, you know, getting the same mistakes, expecting different results, man.
Yeah.
Crazy. I can't believe Flus hasn't realized what he's seeing out there, man.
It's absolutely frustrating and maddening, you know, just to see the same thing over and over again. I mean, you know, I'll tell you this. Here's a stat that I looked up today. So I saw that Roschon Johnson, you know, he only had one carry today, right? And there was a point in the game, it was, I believe it was the drive with the field goal that the Bears had to tie it up at three. DeAndre Swift had rattled off a couple of runs. Bears had got the first down, you know, maybe like a pass or two. It was a good drive. And then you could tell the offense was a bit tired. And I look over to I watched the game with my dad today and my brother and my cousin Ben. And I looked over to the fellas and I was like, man, I really wish they'd put in Roschon Johnson right now. This is in the first quarter, third drive of the game. I said, I wish they would put in Roschon Johnson right now. Mind you, I just mentioned that DeAndre Swift had a couple of good runs. So he was tired. The offense had been driving on the field, so they're tired. If you put in Roschon Johnson, then he's serving his purpose. You give Roschon Johnson the ball on first down. Why? So he can crush somebody. He can make them pay and feel it so that way in the fourth quarter, you're softening them up. But instead, they go into this hurry up, no huddle, muddle offense that they were doing. But again, they were visibly tired. They go into this muddle. And then what ends up happening? Caleb Williams goes back for a pass. He gets sacked and the drive stalls as a result of it. And they have to kick a field goal instead of having this thing continue on. So just interesting things like that, you know, where I say you should continue on with the Roschon Johnson thing. Because the stat that I was going to say, and Brandon, thanks for the call. The stat that I was going to say was only two teams in the NFL this week, two, ran their backup running back for just one carry. Only two. Every other team in the NFL ran their backup running back multiple times. Only two teams ran their backup running back once. It was the Chicago Bears with Roschon Johnson and then the Indianapolis Colts. Why? Because they have Jonathan Taylor. Bears don't have that luxury. You got to do but running back by committee. But Shane Waldron doesn't like to run the ball as much. So anyway, your thoughts right here coming up next. Want to take your phone calls. 312-644-6767. It was another offensive meltdown for the Bears. Just 3 points on the board. Is this a Caleb Williams problem? Is this an offensive line problem? Or is it simply just a Shane Waldron problem? 312-644-6767. Your phone calls next right here on The Score.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.